Begin the current daf, Masechet Neskhulin, Daf Tzadi Zayin. Begin on the top line of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that is the Mishnah had said that a Yerech that was cooked with the Gid HaNosh inside of it, which that is a forbidden food item, so then that's going to make the rest of the thigh forbidden if it's going to give it a taste. So Shmuel qualified that this halacha is only when it was cooked together. Then the juices get mixed together. However, if it was roasted with it, then it actually contracts, and the meat of the thigh is permitted, and only the Gid HaNosh is forbidden. So that the Gemara asked, but we find the halacha that a kid goat that was roasted with its fats, the whole thing is forbidden, even though it's roasted. So that the Gemara said on the top of our Amid that, when there's fats, it's different because fats itself bubbles, even if it's roasted, and will make the rest of the meat forbidden. That's why Gemara continues and says, is that really so that even that when it's roasted, but if it's fats, then it's going to make the whole meat forbidden? But Va'amar Rabbah B'Bachana says, Uvda Hava Kamed Rabbi Yechanan. There was an incident that came in from the Rabbi Yechanan, Beknishta Deboin, in the shul that was a Ma'ain, Begdisha Tzolah B'Chalbe, the same type of case as Rafuna. A kid goat that was roasted with its fats, I mean, they didn't take out the forbidden fats from the animal before it was roasted. Vasu V'Shailu L'Rabbi Yechanan, they came and they asked this question from the Rabbi Yechanan. Va'amar, they said, Kaila Va'ichalat Shemegil Chalbe. Actually, the same terminology that Shmuel says, that you could just peel away and eat until you get to the forbidden fats, and that you won't eat, but the rest of the meat is permitted. So you see, not like the way we explain, even though there's fats, if it's roasted, it's permitted. Says the Gemara, who kocha shabbat, that was a lean piece of meat, so there the fats are not going to bubble around, but generally, the fats will bubble all around. Or another interpretation, Rav Huna bar Yehuda Amar, says, kulya bechel behave besharya. It wasn't just the piece of meat and the fats. It was the kidneys with its fats, and therefore he says it's permitted because there's a membrane that separates the fats from the kidneys. So therefore it's not going to get absorbed in the kidneys. But generally, you're right, by a regular piece of meat with the fats will bubble throughout and make the rest of the meat forbidden. A third interpretation, Ravim Baravadam, he says actually it was a whole different type of a case. It was kilkis, it was these small types of non-kosher fish, the ilpas hava, that was in a pot of meat. And they had asked Rabbi Yechanan, what should they do? And they said to them, Lita mekfil arma. Now we want to know, does it give and imbue, and are there emissions of the non-kosher fish in this pot of meat? But you can't taste it to see if it has taste. So he says, let a non-kosher baker, a cook, let him taste the food. And that's the Chiddush Rabbi Yechanan was telling us, that you're allowed to rely on the non-Jew in what's called the fituma if he's just answering innocently, and you don't notify him that you're asking because of Jewish law to know it's permitted or prohibited. Then we wouldn't rely on them. But you just say, how does this taste? And he says, I taste some, because they're proficient to figure out taste, and they say, I taste a little of this fish inside, then it's forbidden, but if not, then it's going to be permitted, and therefore it's not a difficulty, because not talking about a case of fats in the Gedi, it was actually this kilkis be'ilpis. Now, related discussion, the Gemara says, Amar Rava, he says, Mereish hava kukash li hadatani, he says, I always used to have the question on the following braisa. Kederish abishl babasar, a pot that was used to cook meat, what we call a fleishig pot, lo yivash habachalav, should not be used to cook milk. Vim bishul, if someone cooked milk in the fleishig pot, in the meat pot, but nois and tam, so then if it's going to give flavor into the milk, the dairy that's being cooked in this meat pot, then it's going to make it forbidden. So to truma, if someone has a pot that was used to cook truma, loivashal b'chol, they shouldn't cook unconsecrated because it's going to give the emissions of truma, which is forbidden for a non-kain. Now, vim bishul, if someone did cook chulin with the truma pot, benois and tam, evaluate it. If it's going to give flavor, then the chulin is forbidden for the zar, and if not, it's going to be permitted. So says Rava, so bishul mit truma, says, I always understood the halach of truma, tom lo kain. So you have a kain tasted, which both chulin and truma are permitted to him. And he tastes it, and if he tastes the truma taste, then it's forbidden. If not, it's permitted for a non-kain. But regarding the laws of dairy and meat, man tamla, who's going to taste to see if in this dairy there's a meat taste? How could you taste to try it, to test it out, if that will be the violation of the Isra, if it happens to have the taste of the meat in the dairy? But now that we just learned the halacha, the Rabbi Yechanan said we rely on the non-Jewish cook. Now I understand the braisa. You want to know if there's a taste of the meat in the dairy? Let the non-Jewish cook taste. If he doesn't taste it, then it's permitted. If he does, then it's forbidden. The Gersa takes out the Dalet and says, Amar Rava. Another teaching from Rava on this topic says, Amar Rabbanan B'taima. In many places, the rabbis say that the thing that we evaluate if it's prohibited emissions or not depends on if it gave taste into those permitted items. Now, Vamra ban Mikfela. Many times we find, as we find this halacha of Rabbi Yechon we just quoted, that the rabbi said that we evaluate based on a cook to see if he's going to be able to taste it, a non-Jewish cook. And moreover, as Gittin Tamid Beis, Vamar Ban Beshishim. And there are places, like in the last parak of Masechet Zavei Dezara, that the halacha was this defined, that regarding all halachas of prohibitory laws of taste in the Torah, whether Basal B'chala, whether other Isurin, it's Beshishim. It's in the ratio of 60 to 1. So Hilchah Lever says, Rava, it's as follows. Yes, all these three different ways of evaluating is depending on the case. Min B'she'inei Minayim. When there's two different species that are getting mixed in with each other, where a person could discern and differentiate their taste, and both of them are tehatera, both of them are permitted items that a Jew could taste it, for example, a Kohen who could taste truma and chulun to see if the truma gave taste and the chulun or not, so then that's betaima. That's what we're going to evaluate based on taste, meaning the Kohen is going to taste it. If the truma does not give taste into the chulun, then that dish could be eaten even by non-Kohen. Now, the isura, but if let's say it's regarding something that's prohibited for old Jews, for example, basar b'chalav, where you can't have a Jew to discern and taste it because it might have a taste and then it's forbidden to even try it in the first place. That's where we rely b'kfeila. That's rely on the non-Jewish cook. Now, third category, umin b'minoi. When it's the same species, whether it's permitted item or prohibited item, delekele mekem atayim, where you cannot evaluate it based on taste because it's the same taste, just one happens to be us and one's mutter, or inami, or another case, min b'she'enei minoi, even when they're different types, but the isura, where they're prohibited, so a non-Jew, so a Jew can't taste it, and moreover, the girsa takes it from adal to avav, but delekele kfeila, and there is no non-Jewish cook to taste it, so and a Jew can't because it might be usher. That's where we evaluate b'shishim. Then we go, okay, we can't discern it based on taste. Then we go based on a ratio of 60 to 1. And if there's more than 60 to the 1 of Isser, then we say that it's batel, it's nullified, and we don't, and the taste is not extant over there in that mixture. A story related to the halachas that we're discussing. The Gemara says, Hanu at mahasa di imlichu beirish galusa begidid in ashay. There was this thigh, of a piece of meat, the thigh that was salted, which generally they salt to get the blood out. It was salted in the household of the Resh Galusa, who was in charge of all the Jews in the diaspora. But it was salted by Gidin Nasha with the Gidin Nasha inside. Ravina Asa said the whole meat is forbidden. Ravacha Barav, and the Gersa takes the word Ashi, Shari said it's permitted. And Asa Shailu Lamabar Avashi, and they came to ask Mabar Avashi his opinion. And Amaluhi said to them, Abba Shari, such a case my father said it's permitted. Now, but they continued debating this halacha. Amali Ravacha Barav, by Rav Ravina, these two disputants, he said to Ravina, "My daitach, what's the reasoning for your opinion that you said that this piece of meat that they salted with the gedanush inside of it is forbidden? If it's because the halacha of Shmuel, the Amar Shmuel had said elsewhere, maliach harehi kereseach, salting is like roasting, meaning there's a certain chemical transaction that happens when something is being salted that it's like roasting, and kavush, when something is pickled, which is when something is soaking in vinegar or spices, and it's soaking the prohibited and the permitted item together, harehi kumavushal, that's like it's cooked together." So therefore you want to say, oh, so it's like roasting. Okay, so that means you roasted this prohibited gedanusha with the meat, and therefore it's aser. However, that's what he asked him, but over here, when you're saying that the gedanusha was roasted together with the meat, still it should be permitted. Because V'amar Shmuel, and we quoted this in the previous daf, Shmuel had said, Leishanu elishan is bashaba. The whole Isra, we said in our Mishnah that the Yerich Shin is Basal Gid, a thigh that was cooked together with a Gid that the Gid makes the Yerich Aser. Shmuel said it's only if it was cooked with it. And he explicitly says, I will nitzlaba, but it was roasted with it. Gid. You could peel away and eat the whole meat until you get to the Gid and then you stop. So you see that even if you're going to say, it's like roasting, it's like heating up, but the heating of the roasting, since there's no juices over here, it's just like heating it up, it's not going to make it asa. So even if it was kerisech, why would you make it asa? Now, v'chitem, if you're going to say, no, my kerisech de kamar, what does Shmuel mean when he says, salting is like heating it up? Kerisech de mevushal, it means the heating up like cooking, and then it actually would qualify the halacha of our Mishnah. It's like as if all the juices are going all around, and therefore it should make the whole thing asa. But that's what he tells him, that you can't say this. Because v'hamad de kamar, kavash arayi kemevushal, from that original law that you bring from Shmuel, that he says salting is like roasting, is like heating up. Then he says kavash areikum avushal, and pickling is like cooking. Machlal derisich ditzlikamer. So the fact that he changes the terminology, by pickling he says like cooking, and by salting he says like resech, which heating up, obviously means the heating up of roasting, because it was like cooking, he would have kept the same terminology. So the Gemara Kasha is definitely a difficulty on his interpretation that he wanted to say that it's Aser, based on the halacha of Melech Hare Kreisech, but even if it's like Kreisech, like we're pointing out, it's obviously Kreisech the Tzli, and that's the halacha of Shmuel from the previous stuff, and that's why we introduced this, that he said that even if you're roasting the Geranosh with the Yerech, roasting contracts and it doesn't spread out, and therefore the Yerech should not be forbidden. Now continues the Gemara on these halachas, Amar Reb Chanina, says, Kishahin Misharin, when they evaluate the prohibited item in the ratio of 60 to 1, and that is if this 60 of permitted to the 1 prohibited, then it's going to be mutter. So then Misharin, then they evaluated that it should be 1 out of 60, not just of the piece of meat, let's say, that it's mixed with. But it's berative, it's with the gravy, it's with bekipa, it's with those small little pieces of meat and spices that gather in the bottom of the pot, ubechatiches, and with the other pieces of meat, ubegedera, and with the pot. Now, Igadarmi, that those that say, Begedera Atzma, what he meant to say was actually the pot itself. The pot is a substance, just like all the other things are substances, which we say that the prohibited item, even if we'll take it away, but we say that it's giving taste, emissions into all the other pieces of meat. So we say it's usser up until a ratio of 60 to 1. Now, but everything's absorbing taste. So that's why he says you have to evaluate the sediments on the bottom and the piece of meat and the gravy. You evaluate it all. Now, this first version says, and also the pot. The pot is also absorbing. So if you have so much there, it's going to be negligible. And that's the ratio of 60 to 1. You're including also the volume of the pot. Now, but the Vikadami, that those that say no, what he was saying was, b'may debala kadera. You don't evaluate the pot itself. You evaluate what the pot had absorbed. Meaning, if we saw when that prohibited item fell over there, before it got diminished through the cooking process, now, later on, we're evaluating, after it got cooked, we're evaluating how much it was when it fell there originally. Now, right now, there is no 60 to 1 ratio. But that's what the halacha is saying. But we evaluate how much of permitted was actually originally there. It's just that the pot had absorbed from the permitted items, because when it originally fell in, which is the moment that we're evaluating, then there was more permitted over there, and it just got diminished because the pot had absorbed some of the permitted food and gravy and all those other things, and that's what we're going to evaluate with, but we're not going to evaluate with the volume of the pot itself. Now, Rashi says that since this is a machlokes, this is a dispute between these two different versions, and it's a biblical prohibition on whatever the prohibited item is, so we go stringently, and we're not going to evaluate with the more lenient interpretation of the volume of the pot itself, but rather of what of the permitted item was originally there that we could assume got absorbed in the walls of the pot, which would then extend and expand the ratio of the permitted to nullify the prohibited item. But Rashi says, anyway, in primary in the halacha, we usually evaluate how we see it right now. And we don't evaluate, well, there must have been more permitted to nullify the Isser because must have been the pot that absorbed some of the permitted through the cooking process. Because like Rashi says, yeah, it also absorbed some of the Isser too, and it also diminished what originally was. As the Gemara says later on, the next daf, what, you think it only absorbed the permitted and not the prohibited? And therefore it would be the same ratio, and therefore this heter actually in technical practicality in most cases would not be of any value anyway. It's just that it's only pertinent when you saw it, when it fell in, and it's still the same size now, so that we know didn't change, but the permitted did change because it got absorbed in the walls. That's when we'll evaluate a little bit larger the shashir of the heter to be mevatel of the iser. Continuing these halachas, Amar Bavom, Rabbi Yechanan, says, Kol Yisurin Shabbat Torah, all prohibited items in the Torah, except for like the Geranasha, which we said in the Mishnah, that we evaluate as if it's meat in turnips, and if we give flavor or not, that's how we evaluate the Geranasha in the Yerech, in the thigh. But generally, all prohibited items in the Torah, Misharinan, we evaluate them, Kiluhein, as if the prohibited items are Batzel, onions, Bekaflet, or Leek, and if like onion or leek would give taste in this permitted dish that it fell into, then it would make it forbidden, and if not, not. And what we mean when we refer to this is obviously we're talking about prohibited items that you wouldn't be able to evaluate just by tasting, because then you could just taste it and have it evaluated, or we're talking about where it's the same species where you can't taste it anyway, or also if we're talking about that one of them is prohibited and we don't have a non-Jewish cook to taste it. And moreover, Rashi points out, we hadn't yet there was different times and periods in history when they had made certain measurements. They didn't have yet then finalized that the measurement's going to be 60 to 1, as we'll see in the next daf, regarding there was a disputes and disagreements on how much should be the ratio of nullification. So therefore, when you can evaluate it based on taste, so then they're saying the way they evaluated was, okay, we'll view the iser as onion or leek, which subsequently they ended up saying that when it's things that you can't taste it, as in the case we're describing, then they just made a 60 to 1 ratio. But at this point, the Gemara had said that they'll evaluate the iser as if it's onion or leek. Now, however, on this halacha, Amar Rabbi Abba Labai, he says, but why? For the Sharina Bipilpalin, why didn't you evaluate the iser as if it was pepper, which gives its taste even in a ratio of 1,000 to 1? As spices tend to do, or vitavim with some other spices, that fill by elef libetel, that even in 1,000 is not nullified. So why are you giving it a much lesser criterion as onion or leek? That Amalei Abayi said to Rababa, Shir Chacham, the Chacham evaluated, the ain nice and tam b'yisurin, there's no taste of from a prohibited item, yesim ibasal v'kaflet, more than onion or leek. In other words, there's nothing that's prohibited intrinsically that's going to give taste to permitted items more than the strength of onions and leek. And therefore they said that's the most we have to go with in the measurements of nullification. And we're not going to consider it like something like pepper. Ketuvin is Allah Chazim Rav Nachman, he says, Gid b'shishim, the sinew, the gid anasha, it requires a nullification of 60 to 1. Ve'in gid min aminyan, and the gid anasha itself is not from that 60. In other words, you need to have 60 permitted food items besides for the gid anasha itself. Now, however, khal, the udder, which is the place where the milk comes out of the cow, since the udder itself is something that's permitted, if the udder gets cooked with other pieces of meat, and the problem is, but then there's milk in the udder, which makes it a problem of cooking basa b'chalav, but then we actually assess b'shishim, a ratio of, as if there's 60 of meat to the 1% of, or to the one part of the milk, but a kham and a minyan. The udder itself is from the permitted piece of meat that will nullify the milk that's there. We won't consider the udder as part of the prohibited item itself. Now, beya, the egg of a non-kosher bird, a bishishim, has to be 60 of kosher eggs to nullify that one non-kosher egg. Ve'ein beyim and a minyan, and that egg's not from the minyan, from the count of the kosher, of the parts that nullify, because it itself is the prohibited item. You need to have besides it, it's the one prohibited from the 60 of the permitted. Now, Amr Bitzchak Bered Mesharshi, he qualifies the previous halacha of the khal, says, Ukhal atzmai aser. However, the udder itself, even though we said it actually combines, because it's meat, and it combines with the other pieces of meat to nullify the one part of milk that's inside of it to have a ratio of 60 to 1, but the udder itself is prohibited. Why? Because the milk in the udder, the meat from the udder gives taste into the milk that's in the udder. So although the milk actually doesn't give taste into the meat because it's the minority and it's nullified in the 60 of meat, but the milk that's inside the udder gets taste from the meat, and therefore the udder which has the milk inside of it, that makes the udder prohibited. And v'inafal gedir acheres, and if that udder falls into another pot, oyser, it will nullify that other pot because the udder itself is prohibited. Now, going back to clarify this halacha, Amar Rav Ashi says, Ki avina bei Rav Kahane boilan. We were in the yeshiva of Kahane, we had the following question. Ki misharinan, when we evaluate, as we said before, that by the udder, there's a problem of basa b'chalav because there's milk and meat inside of it, and if you're cooking other piece of meat, you have to have 60 to 1 to nullify it. Even though we said that the udder itself is part of the 60 of meat to nullify the one part of milk. Now, but the question is, b'didei misharinan? Do we evaluate it that you need to have in the permitted piece of meat 60 opposite the whole udder? We consider that as the whole, whatever is prohibited in the udder, meaning all the milk. You need to have 60 of meat opposite that. Or do we evaluate how much we assume came out of it? In other words, you don't need to have in permitted, which is the piece of meat, only 60 opposite what was emitted from the udder. Because what's in the udder itself is not in the pot, and that we're going to throw out. So maybe you don't need to have 60 to 1 opposite the whole udder, only rather what we think came out of it. So that says the Gemara Pshita de Bidide Bisharinan. It's obvious that we evaluate opposite the whole udder. Why? If we're going to evaluate how much came out of it, how are we supposed to know this? We don't know how much came out. Therefore, we have to assess it as if all the milk inside came out into the pot, and therefore you need to have 60 of meat, which, yeah, you'll include the meat of the udder itself, but it has to be opposite all the milk that's in the udder. Now, but then based on this, as the Gemara Lamiyata, but if that's the case, since we evaluate opposite all the milk that's in the udder, so if that's the case, in the original pot that the udder was cooked in with all those other pieces of meat, all of the milk that was inside, which is we're calling the prohibited item as in the halacha basa b'chalav, we said all of that milk is nullified. Because we said all of it was out there in the pot. Because if not, then we said, so why would you need to have 60 of meat opposite all the content that's inside the udder? So then the question is, since all of that milk is already nullified in the first pot, so how do you understand the other halacha we said? If the udder then, after that, falls into another pot, it should not make it prohibited. What makes this udder problematic? If you said there was still some milk inside of it, so we could understand. So not all of it went out. And then we would say, okay, we would evaluate based on how much came out. And then we would say that, okay, so there's some milk inside the udder. So although the milk's not giving taste into the meat, but the meat is giving taste into the milk, and that milk is prohibited, and, oh, so that udder is problematic. But if you're saying all of it came out, so why is this udder prohibited when it falls into another pot of meat? There's nothing problematic in over here. It's just meat, and the meat is part of the permitted items that nullify the milk. Says the Gemara, Kim dam Rav Yitzchak b'Reid Mersharshia, Ukchal atzmei aser, as we had mentioned. Since he says that the udder itself is prohibited, why? Because in the beginning of the process, the udder in the beginning became prohibited before all the milk went out. It was first cooking in the udder itself. There wasn't 60, so the udder became prohibited. So the moment it gives taste, it already became prohibited. From that point on, Shavu Rabbanu kechiticha dinavela. So the rabbis considered the udder as like a piece of a non-kosher piece of meat, which is always going to be prohibited. As our Mishnah said previously, Bizman Shemekiu, when you recognize you got to throw it out. Here, this is like a piece of nevela, and it's all going to be a prohibited item. And therefore, although yes, in the context, in the global context of the pot, the meat is going to help you nullify the milk, but the udder itself, when you evaluate it on its own, like when it goes into another pot, we view that as a prohibited item. So although there's no milk inside of here, that whole meat, that whole udder is a prohibited item as it was in the beginning of the cooking process. And that's why when it falls into another pot, we're going to have to say that as if it's a prohibited meat item, the whole udder falling into another pot.